Let's hear the word of God. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panelled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but you have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes that are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Then he goes on to talk about how they need to prepare. They need to actually get down to the building. And we're going to skip on to chapter 2 and read the first 9 verses. On the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Amen. We've talked much about what is happening here within the Presbyterian Church of Queensland. And there's no two ways about it. What has happened is a tragedy. It's devastating. It is a real grief. And for me, as perhaps for you, you look at the church, you look at the past, you look at what has been done for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you ask the question, why? Why, O Lord, is this happening? Why is it not different? It's easy for us to become deflated. Deflated because of circumstance. Depressed by what the situation we find ourselves in. We can even find ourselves distracted. Distracted from what we really should be doing. Simply because of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. You know, this is exactly the situation that is facing the people of Israel here in this passage from God's Word, from the book of Haggai. They are a people who have become discouraged, distracted, and deflated. Sorry, I've forgotten to bring my remote.
It's on 4 o'clock.
Oh, sorry. There we go. Let's see if I can remember how to use it now. Okay. As I said earlier, the background to the book of Haggai is based around about 536 BC. And about 50,000 Jews had returned from Babylon to Judah, back to Jerusalem. And Cyrus, the king of Persia, had given them permission to do so, and given them permission to rebuild. And what actually happened was, they came back, they rebuilt the altar, but God said that he wanted them to build the temple. Yet 2 years had passed after them returning. They had laid the foundations to the temple. They had begun the preparations. And what they found was their neighbours, the Samaritans, had offered to join with them to build the temple. But the Jews said no. They weren't wanting it. And the Samaritans, their neighbours, had actually begun threatening them. Threatening the workers and undermining the work. They even sent to Cyrus, the king of Persia, and said that the Jews were plotting against them. So the work on the temple had stalled. 14 years had passed. And the Lord challenged his people through Haggai to see the shame of their failure to do the work and build the temple. It's a message of encouragement to people who have lost their focus or who have become discouraged, who have become deflated, depressed by what is happening. It's a word that we need to hear. Because the problem disables us. For the people of Israel, the attitude of the people, or should I say, the excuse of the people, was, well, it's not the right time for us to build a temple. It's better for us to wait. It's better for us to just wait for the right time. But you know, that's exactly right. There is never the right time. Because, as it's often said, if people have the will, they will find a way. If people don't have the will, they will find an excuse. And that's what the people of Israel did. It was an excuse. The time isn't right. The situation isn't right. We need to wait. You know, the truth is that routine life and all that we do can often distract us. It can sort of cause us to lose our focus. It had been 14 years that the people had not built the temple. No doubt they got caught up with daily life, the farming, the housework, building houses, raising families, that sort of thing, which is not wrong. But God's complaint against them is it time for you yourselves to be living in your panelled houses, while this house remains a ruin? That word panelled actually means sealed or covered or seated. In the ancient world, houses, especially for poor people, were just plain houses, plain mud brick. But God's complaint against the people of Israel is that they weren't just building their houses. They were looking to line their houses with the finest of things. It's a bit like in sort of the Victorian times or that, where big stately houses were panelled with oak panels. It looks good. It's a bit of luxury. It doesn't really have much function. The problem with the people of Israel is that because of their lack of focus, they were distracted. They were lining their own dwellings, their own houses. They got used to life without the temple. Even their leaders, the Zerubbabel, the governor, and Joshua, the high priest, had gotten used to the way things were. They weren't calling on the people to build. It was left to Haggai. It was left to the Lord to challenge the people through Haggai, to actually get on. Even their leaders weren't doing their job. They weren't leading the people. They weren't challenging the people. You know, another thing that sort of can cause us to be disabled is when we delay, when we put off things. I must confess, I am a procrastinator. Often, I will have a great idea. I'll need to do that. I fitted a new kitchen for my wife. Well, I began, I think it was about last February. It's still not finished. But it's easy to put things off, isn't it? To say, well, it's not the right time. I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And often these delays can actually cause us to be even more of a procrastinator. Because we said, oh, I should have done that. You feel a bit embarrassed, or you feel a bit awkward, and you say, oh, well, I can't do it. And it just, the delays can actually disable us. We can put it off. That's what the people of Israel were doing. They were delaying. They were making excuses. They hadn't even gathered together all that was necessary for the building. You know, sometimes it's easy for us to allow life and circumstance to cause us to delay, to put things off. We'll wait until we've got enough money. We'll wait until we've got enough people. We'll wait until it's the right time. Yet often God challenges us to actually get off our seats and actually do it. Get on with the job. And it's as we get on with the job that we actually find us able to accomplish what we're called to do, what we expect to do. You know, another thing for the people of Israel that caused them to be disabled is that they allowed the opposition and the criticism of those round about to actually stop them, to actually cause them to stop building the temple as they were commanded. In verse 5, the Lord confronts us and he says, do not fear. God says this because obviously they are fearful. Obviously in their hearts they are reluctant to build. They're being held back because of the fear. Their fear of others. In the book of Ezra, we find some of the reasons for this. It's because there were those, as I said earlier, the Samaritans and others, who were trying to undermine the work and were reporting to Cyrus and the Persian court. Ezra tells us the king should know that the Jews who came up to us from you have gone down to Jerusalem and are rebuilding that rebellious and wicked city. They are restoring the walls and repairing the foundations. Furthermore, the king should know that if this city is built and its walls are restored, no more taxes, tributes, or duty will be paid, and the royal revenues will suffer. You know, that's one way, isn't it, to really try to undermine, is to tittle-tattle, to use falsehoods and accusations to actually stop the work. And how true that is in life, isn't it? That people, sometimes, when they're not that happy, where they're feeling a bit deflated or a bit distracted, that they will tittle-tattle. They'll complain. They'll criticise. They will undermine. And you know, Satan actually uses that in the church to divide churches, to cause churches to fragment and break apart. And you know, the Scripture tells us quite clearly that, as the Apostle Peter says, Satan is like a lion who's prowling, ready to pounce, ready to devour. Our opposition is not just human. Our opposition is Satan himself and demonic forces. We need to be conscious of that. But we need to resist us playing our part in causing that sedition or that undermining. Very quickly, moving on. Also, pessimism can be something that discourages us. It disables us. You know, when I began in ministry, I thought that the most opposition to the work of the gospel would come from outside of the church. How naive was I? Because often the most vociferous, strong criticism can come from within the church. Satan can even use people within the church to cause that. And often one of the things that's used is pessimism. It won't work. We tried that many years ago and it didn't work. There's no point in trying it again. How many times have you heard that? Or pessimism in the, oh, well, we can't do that. We haven't got the resources to do that. This is what happened for the people of Israel. Again, from the book of Ezra, we're told that after they laid the foundations, and it was the people were divided in terms of sort of their the way in which they viewed what was happening. Reading from Ezra chapter 3, verse 12. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. The young people who had not known the glory of the former temple were rejoicing. They were happy. They celebrated what was happening. But the old timers who had seen the glory of Solomon's temple wept, because it wasn't as good. It wasn't the same. Things had changed. You know how true that can be for us. And I'm not talking about change as in sort of upturning things. But when we're being called by God and led by God to do something, when God is in it, we need to submit, we need to move. Not according to what the minister says, or the session. We need to move as the Lord leads and calls us. Very quickly, I know we're behind. The command to enable us. What is it that will enable us? It's the command to be strong. Three times. The Lord repeats, be strong. In other words, the word strong means to fasten upon, to seize, to have what is necessary to actually face the task. It's about perseverance. It's about keeping going in spite of what's happening. This is exactly what we saw last week in our passage from Joshua chapter 1. God's command. God's enabling. And again, it was three times he told Joshua, be strong and courageous. Get on with the job. It's because there was a danger of them becoming distracted, losing their focus, that they were becoming slow in obeying God. Maybe they were thinking, well, we're just wasting our time here. Maybe there were pessimists around. But, you know, one of the key things to actually seeing the work done and to see the kingdom of God built is perseverance. Is seizing, taking hold of what God has promised you. God has promised that he will make us strong, that he will make us able to actually be the people that he wants us to be. It's in God's strength, as the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. He says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. It's not in our own strength, it's not in our own wisdom. But it's in God's. As soon as we lose our focus on God, as soon as we allow circumstance to begin to cloud God, that we don't actually look to the Lord Jesus, that's when we lose our strength. Skipping on, missed the next one. But one of the you can maybe look this up yourself. It's from Numbers 14. Remember when Joshua and the people were going into Israel, before they went into Israel, they sent spies. One section of the spies came back and said, we seem like grasshoppers to them. They were giants. But Joshua and Caleb came back and said, do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone. The Lord is with us. And it's about perspective often. What lies ahead of us can seem so frightening, so devastating. We can question, can we actually survive? That's what the spies were saying. These giants, we're like grasshoppers. Let's just go back. Let's run away and hide. But Joshua and Caleb were saying, we're not afraid. Let's go. Let's get them. Why? Because the Lord is with us. The Lord is in it. The Lord will enable us. You know, that's exactly what we need to hear. That's our focus and attitude that we need, just as the people of Israel did in the time of Joshua, but also the people of Israel in the time of Haggai. Because God promises, and this is the final point, the promises to encourage us. God's promise, I am with you. I will fill this house with glory. The silver and gold is mine. I will grant peace. You know, God will provide when we come to Him, when we seek His glory. Sometimes we shake our heads and think, how on earth are we going to get through this? How on earth are we going to provide for the needs? Yet, we're reminded that the Lord is with us. That, and the way it's put is very powerful. That God is the Lord of hosts. Adonai Tzavaot. The Lord of hosts. That word, Tzavaot, means to go forth, to wage war, to fight, to serve. Who is it that goes before us? The Lord of hosts. The Lord goes forth. The Lord is on our side. Because of that, we need not fear. Because of that, we know that we are secure. And that God will glorify His name. That's what He says. That He will glorify His name. Maybe the temple wasn't going to be as big as Solomon's temple. Maybe it wasn't going to be dressed with gold and finery. But you know, God's glory doesn't depend on how much riches we have or upon the gold that we have. God is glorified in His people as they submit themselves to Him, as they work for His glory. God delights in His people. And He will provide. As it says in Scripture, it's God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God is the rightful sovereign owner of all things. God can provide. He has the silver and gold. And finally, lastly, is the assurance that we can have peace. This is a quotation from David Livingstone. And he was asked to reflect on his time in Africa. And he says, would you like me to tell you what supported me through all the years of exile among people whose language I could not understand and whose attitude towards me was always uncertain and often hostile? It was this: lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. On these words I stake everything. And they never failed. That was Jesus' promise to His people. And that's Jesus' promise to us. That's Jesus' promise to the Presbyterian Church of Queensland. May we indeed know that we can have peace. Not through our own wealth or wisdom or knowledge or work, but through His presence. Pray that each one of us might be encouraged and built up in our faith. Amen.